Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
The Colorado Avalanche take care of Nashville again, a little different this time around. They win 2-1 in overtime. There's Cale Makar, scores the big time win. How about that guy? He's an amazing defensive player that just comes up absolutely clutch. And against a goalie that was making his first start in the playoffs. I mean, that was absolutely nuts. And yet, it did tighten. This whole series tightened up a little bit. You knew Nashville, and again, here's my hockey analysis for you. Colorado's a finesse team, quick, faster than hell. Nashville's the kind of team that wants to slow things down. And it's hard to slow things down in hockey, I get it, but be aggressive. And just come out absolutely pushing you around. So they tried to do that. And I remember what we talked about after game one, that Nathan McKinnon was asked about what he was, you know, what do you expect the Predators to carry on that physical approach that they really brought after the first period in that first game? The Avs scored 5 goals in the first period, and then Nashville settled down a little bit. And they were perhaps out physicaling. There we go. The Avs. And I don't know. They tried. They tried in this one. I feel like the Avs hung right there with them. They're just so fast, man. Darcy Kemper, huge game for him. I mean, just 25 saves for him. Absolute wonderful game. Connor Ingram, though, was the crazy one for Nashville. I mean, he is the true assistant to the assistant regional manager. He was the third option. You bring him in after that explosion on Tuesday night, and he was sensational. That is why hockey is such a tricky beast, man. You can be playing your absolute best game, but it does come down to the goalkeeper. And I look at this one last night, and this is where I wonder, that was your opportunity to steal it. You were... I don't know. Was Nashville outplaying the Avs? I don't know that you could say that last night, necessarily. The way I watch hockey, and again, you guys, you know me. You know my strengths and my weaknesses. Certainly, analyzing hockey is one of my weaknesses. But we're going to analyze this from a guy that doesn't watch a lot of hockey. Seemed like the puck was on Colorado's side a heck of a lot of the time. A lot of, you know, and again, the shots were, they kind of balanced out overall. I mean, how many shots on goal did Nashville end up with? They were kind of, it was pretty close for the most part. I even thought with Nathan McKinnon scoring pretty early, like with what, five minutes in or whatever, thought, oh, here we go again. We're going to get something crazy. But slowed down, Nashville tied it up in the first, and we just had kind of a battle for the next two periods until you get to overtime. Cale Makar scores. That was, to me, a heartbreaker for Nashville. You really saw a team that just, I think, poured everything out to try to keep this series, tie this series up before taking it home, which would be absolutely huge for them. In fact, if they would have found a way to win that game last night, you have a lot of nervous nervous Avs fans today. But instead, you keep going. You keep fighting. Some great goalkeeping last night, and that's the great equalizer in hockey. You can have the best roster out there, but you can do a lot of great things when you have wonderful goalkeeping, and that's why Connor Ingram was one of the stars. Cale Makar, Connor Ingram, and Nathan MacKinnon last night. Fun game. Can the Avs sweep this thing? That's our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Will the Avs go ahead and sweep this? It's hard to sweep teams because, listen, like even with the Nuggets in the NBA, these series are very similar. It's hockey, basketball, I get it. But seven-game series, you do see it's hard to close teams out. It's really difficult to do that. So now you're the next two games at Nashville, they'll play Saturday and Monday. And if need be, Wednesday back home. You got to think for sure, though, the Avs are going to find a way to close this thing out at least by next Wednesday. That's our poll question today. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Do you think the Avalanche will go ahead and sweep this thing? Get it done early. Get ready for that ultra-important second round. Because that's kind of been an issue, a bugaboo for the Avs. 69% of the hooligans say no. They're not going to sweep this thing. It's just hard to predict. It's hard to do that. I would not be shocked if Nashville wins one of these. But here's the thing. Here's what you're thinking if you're Colorado. Is you got to split this thing. Next couple of days, go into Nashville, grab one. All the pressure's on the Predators. And then you can end this thing at home if need be. I had a feeling Nashville was going to come out and try to out-physical the Avs. And I honestly think they answered the call well. I think the Avs answered the call extremely well. It was back and forth. Fun game to watch. Darcy Kuemper turned 32 yesterday. That's a heck of a birthday present, isn't it? You are playing absolutely out of your mind. You've been good all year. And then you come up with a lot of great saves in this game. I mean, we've seen what he's been able to do throughout the course of the season, but there it is. Nathan MacKinnon continues to be an absolute stud. It's awesome to see him just flourish. And I love this Twitter thing that I saw last night. It's like Nathan MacKinnon or Nikola Jokic. You don't even know what the question is. I just saw it. I knew immediately where this person was going. Because those two guys are linked together. Kind of stormed onto the scene around the same time. MacKinnon was more of a known commodity when he got into the league. But still, they both revived their teams, their organizations. So I get where the question, you don't even need to tell me where you're going with the question. You're just Nathan MacKinnon or Nikola Jokic. That's it. That's a good poll question, right? Because then you get people go, what? Do it for what? You don't even need a reason. You don't even need a real question. It's because they're just two big-time players, two big-time goats, I think. Now, MacKinnon's got work to do because the greatness for the Avs certainly outweighs the greatness for the Nuggets. No doubt about it. I love Alex English and Dikembe as much as the next guy, but those guys do not compare to Joe Sakic and Patrick Waugh and Peter Forsberg. Not even close. I mean, English is maybe getting close, but seriously, Joker's already the GOAT for the Nuggets. MacKinnon has a lot of company to deal with. But who knows? Go put together a Stanley Cup caliber team this year. Then he's in the conversation. That conversation about the greatest Av is a much more difficult conversation than what we're having with the Nuggets. Joker already passed it. MVP this year or not? Fun game. You're going to close it out. Get it done and just fix all your sights on that next series because we know that's so important. I mean, as good as Jared Bednar is, he could be gone if they can't get past the second round. So you want to just get this thing done. End this thing in Nashville. Don't worry about bringing it home. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. You gotta wonder if Nashville, that was their best punch. That's why hockey's that sport, though. Nashville gave the Avs their absolute best punch. And it all it took is Cale Makar to just find one right down the middle. A low liner through traffic. How, I mean, Connor Ingram was saying, hey, I saw every puck coming my way. Every single puck was coming my, everyone I that hit me or got close to me, I had my eyes locked on it, which I always wonder, love to interview a goalie. Because how often do you see it from start to finish? Because there's so much traffic. How does a goalie keep track? I think playing goalie is the hardest position in all of sports, and I've never played it. Never even played hockey. But he said that was the one puck he could not get his eyes on. Even the one that went through earlier with McKinnon, it's like, I saw it, you know? But that everything else I saw, I knew where it was. I knew the puck was coming. That was the one that I just could not find. I could not place it. And that was the difference maker. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Jays, we got to get a little controversial today, don't we? Shall we get to the big story of the day? Big story of the day, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Do we have a potential resurrected career coming up for my guy, the myth, the mythological creature that is known as Drew Locke? As long as Drew Locke is alive and playing football, Brady Hull will be tweeting something about him. Seattle Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll said yesterday that he doesn't at all envision the team trading for a quarterback. He was on a sports radio program in Seattle. He was not asked specifically about Baker Mayfield. That name continues to be linked to Seattle, and especially because they can't, like, teams can't publicly talk about these players yet. But the question was more so directed at, instead of asking about Baker Mayfield, they asked if they would be interested in adding a veteran quarterback with starting experience. Carroll said, "We're always competing. I'm not saying anything you didn't think I was going to say, but fortunately, that's always been the way we've operated, and it fits again. So we're looking. I don't see us making a trade for anybody at all. I don't see that happening, but we're certainly going to be open to chances to help our club. And meanwhile, we're just going to keep battling and competing our tails off. There's always possibilities, so we'll keep open." Very political. Like, that's a politically correct answer. And to me, that doesn't really mean anything. I mean, hell, the Broncos weren't looking for anybody. They were set on Tim Tebow until Peyton Manning became available. It's like, ah, you know what? You remember what I said? Forget about it. So right now, the Seahawks are in a very sad state. And as much as I kid and somewhat serious about Drew Locke, no, going from Russell Wilson to Drew Locke is a depressing thing. That is the side. Any Seahawks fans out there? It's raining even more there nowadays. Russell Wilson was a bright spot, a beacon, if you will, in Seattle. But this is your quarterback crew. Geno Smith and Drew Locke. I'm telling you guys, I know you don't like this take. You've been at me for this for a year now. Drew Locke was given zero favors here under Pat Shurmur and Victor Fangio. Vic knows how to get to the quarterback. He knows how to stop the quarterback, but does he know what a quarterback is? I think Drew Locke was screwed over from the get-go here. I will be curious to see how it works with Pete Carroll. Now, I'm getting some comments that are like, oh, the guy that couldn't even get Russell Wilson going in the last few years is going to be tasked with fixing Drew Locke. I mean, if you go look at Russell Wilson's stats, he's never really had a bad year. So if you want to just, like, say that Carroll is the make-all, be-all for a quarterback creation, which, again, you're taking some of the credit away from Russell, and I don't agree with that, but I mean, Russell's numbers were very good under Pete Carroll. I know they focused on the defense, but they were still very good. I just, there's something there, guys, and I know it's not a popular opinion. Denver fans were ready to go, ready to be done with him, and I get it. I completely understand. But I think that he was... I'm not saying that he's going to turn out to be a great quarterback. Can he be a starter in this league? I still think he can. I think he could start for a few years and maybe get better. But I think he's going to have a real opportunity. He did not have a real opportunity in Denver. I'm curious to see how that one ends up. We'll talk more about that. We'll talk. NFL Today. Is that what it is, Jay? It's NFL Today. We'll get to that. My top stories in the NFL. I'm always talking about quarterback tiers. And finally, I've been justified. I've been proven right on my system. I have a system, and it works as far as how to gauge the greatness factor of your quarterback. So we're going to get into that so much more. The Rockies are 15-10. Oh, my goodness. It's getting crazy out there. I mean, they're playing the worst teams in the history of the worst teams, but still, you got to beat them. Eastside Chris says, Brady Drew is dead meat. Carol also said Wilson would never be traded. Yeah, touche. 21 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Got a short break coming up. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. You're not going to want to miss the program today. We're rocking and rolling here on a Friday afternoon. We'll be right back.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Six minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Got a shout out to our friends over at No Limit Collectibles. Buy, sell, trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. You got basketball cards. You got football cards. You got baseball cards, hockey cards, memorabilia, signed baseball bats, signed shoes, Nikola Jokic signed jersey, all that and more available at No Limit Collectibles right next to our great friends Cables. Going to be joining the show as well. Cables Restaurant. I love what they do, man. Haven't had a bad meal there. Great atmosphere. You're at Cables. You lived here. You go to Cables. Jade, you've been to Cables a few times. What's your go-to there? You go with the all-you-can-eat spaghetti?
Yeah, usually spaghetti.
I wish I could do the all-you-can-eat. I have to just do like a dish, but you're still at a point where you could do all-you-can-eat spaghetti. One day that's going to go away.
Yeah, but... I say all I can eat, but then it's like a dish and a half.
It's so, because it's good. It's just so, and it's filling. It's damn good. It's ridiculous. Love their food there. That's Cables. No Limit Collectibles. Kind of have you all covered in that spot. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Drew Lock is trending, Jades. He's trending. It's real. I'm here for it. I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be a blast. Because if I'm right, all of you will forget, I'm sure. And if I'm wrong, I'm sure none of you will. That's how it goes. And you get used to it. Man, I'm getting is it possible to get more excited about what the Broncos are doing, though? So I'm just looking at Twitter activity and Zach Stevens, he's our Broncos insider, and just some of the stuff, like he was getting in-depth, behind-the-scenes Broncos information. Just about, like, everybody that was available and the tight end situation and everybody that they were looking at and how they were shocked that this guy was going to be available. Let's get after this guy. And just some of the the animation going on behind the scenes is pretty cool to kind of open up. Before the Broncos' 64th pick, according to Zach, George Payton told Hackett, the tight ends, like if one of those guys is five away, we'll go get him. Just F it. Let's go get them. And they got it on YouTube, so you can check it out, like the behind-the-scenes deal, how the Broncos went and did their got their drafts, got their picks and stuff. Right before the Broncos drafted Nick Bonito with their second-round pick, Nathaniel Hackett, George Payton, Dulcich might still be there in the third round. Hackett said, he's effing good. Like, talking about Dulcich. They love Greg Dulcich, man. They love this guy. This guy's going to be a... I don't know how it's going to look in his rookie year. But make no mistake about it. He's going to be a very important player down the road. I like it, man. Getting behind the scenes a little bit. George Payton said, when Nick Bonito was there at 64, he goes, holy blank, with the F word instead. He said with a smile on his face when Bonito was there, he said, I thought we would have had to trade up to get him. We thought about trading up for Bonito. This draft was not the most excited draft leading up to it, especially for Colorado fans because the Broncos didn't have a first rounder. But I would not be shocked if this is the draft that we come back and talk about. Isn't that how it goes sometimes? Like these highly decorated drafts, there's times where we just kind of go, yeah, some of those guys worked out. Some of those guys were major busts. Some of those guys are just guys. This might be the year, though, where we go back and go, wow, 2022, so under-advertised and things like that, yet this might be the one.
Well, there's no expectations.
Right. So there's nowhere to go but up. So if Bonito turns out to get like four sacks this year as a likely a backup, I mean, again, backup in football sometimes is relative depending on the position you're talking about. If you're a backup edge rusher, you're still going to get quite a few shots. But, I mean, what should be the expectations of Nick Bonito? Come in and you want him to get after it. I always say a first rounder. Other than a quarterback, which is why I hesitate sometimes with quarterbacks, sometimes, I always say a first rounder is a guy you expect to make an immediate impact now. Like, I need you to be on the field doing something. You might not be good yet, you might not be great, but you need to make a good impact. How do you view the Broncos then? Do you expect Nick Bonito and Greg Dulcich to be impact players? Zach told us that he was going down like the list. On, was that Tuesday? He was going down the list of all these players that he expects to be starting at some point. Ioma Uwarziki. I struggle with his name so badly, Jades, out of Iowa State. How'd we do? He thinks he's going to start. That was their second fourth. He likes Montrell Washington, not really in the wide receiver capacity, but more so in the returning capacity. He could make a huge impact. He likes Luke Wattenberg to contend at center. That was a fifth pick. And then obviously you go up the ranks, and Damari Mathis, the corner out of Pittsburgh, is that a guy that can certainly add depth? I like that they took a corner in the fourth or with their third pick. Because they're certainly going to need, in my mind, you can never have too many good edge rushers and too many good corners. Jades, my rule, you're new to this, fairly new to this, because you didn't join us for football season. If I were a coach, and I'm certainly not, but I believe four pillars of defense makes a defense. Give me two stud edge rushers. Give me two stud shutdown corners. Everybody else can be average. I can do a lot with those four pillars on my defense. And do the Broncos have that? They certainly on paper, they thought they were going to get there to start the season. They wanted it to be Bradley Chubb and Von Miller. They would be their stud edge rushers. Now at the cornerback position, how you feeling? I mean, you got Pat Surtain. I think we all agree is well on his way to being considered a top corner, even after 1 year. But who's going to start at that next spot? Darby. Damari Mathis is already listed above Michael OJ Mudia, who was taken 2 years ago in the draft. But then, and then, of course, you have Randy Gregory along with Bradley Chubb. So you might have your pillars there as far as edge rusher. You might just be one guy short of my four pillars. And maybe you have a guy that surprises you. Maybe a rookie comes in and surprises you. Doubtful you can strike lightning strikes twice. Because Pat Surtain was as good as advertised, probably better. But I'm getting pumped about this team, man. I'm getting so pumped that you know I'm probably going to make some kind of crazy prediction as we get closer. But I'm telling you, the AFC West is good. So it's good that you have Russell. Beyond good. It's good that you had a good draft class last year. Guys that are going to be entering the second year can really help you out. I think it's amazing that you re-sign Melvin Gordon. Broncos are loading it up. They have a bet. Hey, is somebody gave me crap the other day because I said Nathaniel Hackett's already better than Vic Fangio. He is, right? Because we already know what Vic Fangio is. The unknown sometimes is already better than the known because we know Vic Fangio is bad. So you upgraded there. And again, Nathaniel Hackett could turn out to be a bust. Who knows? In fact, there's a lot of insiders that say this is either going to be legendary, like he becomes one of the big-time coaches in the NFL, or it's a quick fizzle out. There's a lot. I've read that on numerous occasions from different outlets like CBS Sports and ESPN. But I do feel like, for the sake of this argument, you upgraded there. You upgraded certainly at the quarterback position, all my Drew Lock-isms aside. Certainly an easy upgrade. Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon, you're running back the same running backs, but is Javonte Williams better than he was his rookie year? You have to say yes. Melvin Gordon's probably breaking even. I mean, how many guys on this defense are better than they were last year? Josie Jewell, healthy Josie Jewell. Randy Gregory, stud. That's an upgrade there. Randy Gregory or Von Miller at this point? Like, seriously, you're probably taking Randy Gregory right now. At least for the Broncos. So I'm very excited to see how this works out. You did get depth at the linebacker spot, at the cornerback spot. You get a tight end that you're very high on, and Greg Dulcich, who might work himself into not necessarily a number one, but he's very much similar to Trey McBride. So Trey or Greg, you feel good about that either way. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Are the Avs going to sweep this thing? What do you think? Can they take care of business in Nashville, or do you see this thing coming back to Colorado for at least one game? I think it's hard to sweep teams. It's hard for me to predict that. But if I were, you know, I suppose this might be the closest. I just think Nashville's going to steal one of these things at home. 66% now saying no. 37 minutes after the hour, let's jump out real fast. Jade, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back. Texter says, throw the Predators a bone. Come back to Denver. Put in the death unit like Golden State did. Then get a little rest. The Avs went up 2-0 over the Golden Knights. Was that last year, Jades? Last year? And ended up losing the series. So you just don't, especially in hockey, you could go up 3-0. And I don't know the stats of hockey. How many times has a team come back from being down 3-0? It's probably happened more than NBA. Maybe check. Let me know if you find that, Jades. But you just don't want to be. I'm not saying a sweep's going to happen, but if you have that opportunity, you're not worrying about coming back to Denver. Obviously, you play to win the game, right? Herm Edwards, First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Are the Avs going to sweep this thing? So it's happened four times. Well, it's four more times it's happened in the NBA. Here's a little stat for you. Jades, a little trivia, a little avalanche trivia for you. The Avs are 14-2 since they moved to Colorado. The Avs are 14-2 in best of seven playoff series when they win the first two games. 14-2. History is certainly on their side. I think, again, if somehow Nashville pulls that thing off in overtime, we're panicking today, aren't we? Because Nashville just steals home ice. They even the series up. That's why you can't look at a game and go, "Oh wow, you won 7-2. This is going to be an absolute blowout." It always rounds itself out. Most of the time, unless another team is just god awful and how did they even get into the playoffs in the first place? But that just doesn't happen. So they're, the attention's going to have to be there. Pressure's going to be on in these playoffs. Have fun with it. But certainly the pressure is on. Because the windows we talk about these championship caliber windows. I think, depending on who you ask, I think there were Avs fans last year that said last year was a failure because you didn't get past the second round. And you had the best team in hockey last year going into the playoffs. You have I know they didn't win the President's Trophy, but they are most of you would agree that 90% of the insiders or whatever would say 90% of the year, this was the best team in hockey. And so it would be a letdown. I think one of our poll questions was, is it a major letdown if they don't make it to the Stanley Cup Finals? And I think they certainly have to get to the conference finals. They got to get past the second round. Like, I do think that that is a big deal for them. So this round, you just want to be careful, not trying to look too far ahead to what's coming up next. Take care of Nashville as soon as possible. End this thing. Go up 3-0 tomorrow night. It's going to be a battle, I'm sure. I'm sure Nashville will find. I guess we're going to find out a lot about the Predators tomorrow night because they were right there. Like I said, they gave the Avs their best shot. They didn't go away. They responded beautifully after losing 7-2, and then to lose it in overtime. I was tweeting this out, Jades, and you're watching hockey. I'm watching hockey. We're both watching hockey. We're trying to get into it here. I'm always amazed that anybody ever scores a goal. I mean. When you see how quickly the net just closes up, the closer the puck gets, all the traffic surrounding the net, and they're able to fit that puck into the... look at Cale Makar's goal. Look at that final goal. It went into this tiny little window, and they're so quick. That wrist movement is just so absolute. I'm just shocked that anybody ever scores in hockey. It's crazy to me. They're just so damn talented.
Well, and the angles and stuff that they can get, like, the puck elevated. It's like, how do you do that?
Passing and just your try. We talk, like, in basketball, you're passing to get the defense offset. In hockey, like, basketball, you're passing to get bodies offset. In hockey, you're passing to get eyes offset. Which we all know, Jades, if you do your homework, eyes move faster than the human body, right? But that's how they're trying to flick that puck around so quickly that a guy's eyes just for a second turns away. And that, again, that is why this sport is very beautiful. That's why the sport is a very fun sport to watch, but extremely tight. A lot of things got to go right to win a hockey game.
Yeah, and backhand goals are amazing to me. Like, I don't understand. How do they get the puck elevated?
No idea. Like, I tell you, though.
I don't even think I could do that with a ball.
No, I don't think you could either.
Thanks.
I think I could. I'd figure it out. No, there's no way.
You're obviously a pro.
Oh, yeah. We got to go play hockey sometime. Have you ever played, like, roller hockey?
Not roller. I used to play street hockey all the time.
Okay. Just in shoes?
On my feet.
Just on your feet? Have you ever played ice hockey?
No.
Have you ever been ice skating?
I have been ice skating.
I've been ice skating like three times.
I'm not great at ice skating.
I am terrified of ice skating for some reason. Don't mind falling, but then for some reason I'm on the ice and I'm like, I don't want to fall.
Yeah. I don't like the idea of having people pushing me around on ice and then them skating by me on blades.
Yeah, it's true. Hockey's a different beast, man. It is a different animal for sure. I'm having fun with it. I'm having fun with the Rockies too. 15-10. I'm not jumping on any bandwagon. I know Tanner's putting his deadline on there. I've never heard that before. You can't be a fan anymore if you're not going all in on the Rockies by May 15th. Dude, I have been watching this. They've been in the playoffs 5 times, Jades. Twice in your lifetime? Think about that. So forgive Rockies fans if they see 15 and 10 once, just once. No, more than that.
No, they've gone, I think, 3 times.
So did they go with...
2007, and then 18 and 19, or 17 and 18, one of the two.
Here, let me look it up. Give me something. Give me some efforting music here. I think it's 5 times, right? Just try it. Forgive Rockies fans if they're not like, oh, I'm going to jump on this bandwagon right now. Okay, they went and the first time they went was 1995. They went in 2007. What year were you born?
03.
Oh, okay. Sometimes I have no concept of time and age. I just know you're a lot younger than me. Like, you were born like 5 years ago, bro.
Yeah, according to you, I'm like 4, so.
You're like my kid's age. Okay, they've been 5 times. So... you can't give anybody any crap at all if they're not going to jump on a bandwagon. Because there's no trust. So I'm saying, have fun with this. Enjoy it. Doesn't mean you need to put millions of dollars on them to go to the playoffs. Just have a blast with it. Because I'm telling you, Jades, I'm a little worried. So here's what's coming up for the Rocks. Arizona, they're not very good right now. They should beat Arizona. They should win that series.
That series actually has me a little bit worried.
It's on the road, right? Who's Cool's going up against Kelly tonight?
I'm not worried about the pitching matchups necessarily. I'm more worried about the offense coming around. Ketel Marte is starting to come around a little bit. I mean, Seth Beer, he's starting to slow down a little bit, but Dalton Varsho is also doing great. And then there's one more guy who a lot of people don't realize that he's doing really good, and that's Pavin Smith.
Okay. So they might be getting better at the wrong time, you're saying?
Yeah, it just worries me that when they're getting better, it just happens to be right when they play the Rockies.
Baseball is such a long sport that certain sequences will reveal who you really are. So, like, they got 6 games in a row coming up on the road. Then it's Kansas City, okay? Home. But then it's home against San Francisco. So you got 6 games coming up on the road. Throw the Royals in the mix, and then San Francisco at home. So let's just say 9 games that you're looking at in the next 12, where you're going, these could be interesting. I mean, Arizona, record-wise, you think, okay, they could win. But like you said, Arizona was supposed to be a little bit better, or they were supposed to be a dumpster fire, right? And then now they're like at that 500 or so, and now maybe they're showing us something.
Well, and the other thing that scares me is that you can obviously make the claim that CJ Cron is the best hitter on the team right now. And on the road, he's only batting a 200 average.
Really?
Yeah.
He's loving Coors Field, man.
I mean, however, Randall Grichuk, who's on fire, he's batting a 333. Yeah. But he's the only one in the threes.
I don't know. I think this is you got Cool, Freeland, and Marquez. Marquez needs to bounce back game big time. I think you win this series. I think you need to win this series. Because then you're on the road at San Francisco. You got San Francisco 6 times in the next 9 after that Arizona series. So things could get hairy really quickly for the Rockies. And this is kind of when you start to see, maybe you see that sometimes. Not all the time. A lot of times it's late May or early June swoon. But this is certainly has the makings of a wheels coming off type situation. So you got to handle Arizona this weekend. 12:52 the time. We'll get to we got some NIL stuff I want to get to. We got the NFL today coming up in the first segment and more on the Broncos and whatever else we decide to talk about in the second hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy and Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Hey, There's people coming and going in the studio all day, man. All right, David Roddy, big news coming up for him. I'm going to talk about it next. The whole show powered by PDC Energy.